Well, good morning. It's sure good to be here today and look into God's Word together. If you would, please turn in your Bibles to the fourth chapter of 1 John. So 1 John chapter 4. And Lord willing, we'll get through verses 1 through 6 today. Hopefully you appreciate the boldness and really just the bluntness of John. He just really says it like he is, or says it like it is. He just gives it to you. And in a world where everybody is so careful not to offend or be canceled or whatever, it's refreshing sometimes for someone just to speak the truth boldly and plainly. And we see that here in this text before us, but also throughout this little letter of 1 John. You know, I've been known a time or two to be a little ornery. And one of the things that I've done in the past is I've made a comment to somebody that I thought might be a little bit gullible. I would say, "Did you know that gullible's not in the dictionary?" And it's really kind of fun. I haven't done it lately, but I do have to admit I've done that. It's kind of fun because sometimes you get responses like, "It isn't," which is really funny because that's exactly what we're talking about. But I remember one time saying that to somebody, and they said, "It is too. I looked it up," you know, and I'm like, oh, man, people are just naturally gullible, aren't they? I mean, people are gullible. We don't like to be. We don't want to admit it. But people are gullible. I mean, that's why we have whole industries that are built around appealing to people's gullibility. And I don't know, you know, who's involved in what, so I'm not thinking of anybody in this room in particular. But I've had different people try to sell me on different multi-level marketing kind of supplements or oils or some kind of thing that they begin to share with me, and sometimes I'm like, you know, this sounds like maybe it could be helpful. And then they keep going, and eventually they oversell it, and pretty soon they're trying to convince me that this thing, if I just take it, I mean, it'll cure anything. I mean, cancer and diabetes and mental problems, and I mean, they don't quite go this far, but they almost say that it would even do something for ugly, you know? I'm like, man, you guys, like, I mean, really, you know, people get sucked into that. And personally, when it's oversold, I'm like, okay, you might have had me, you know, some of these ingredients I understand are good for you, and that's good. But when you go that far, I'm like, nah, I'm sorry, I don't think that's for me. But people are so gullible. You have all kinds of scams out there. I mean, how many emails did you get in your inbox this week telling you that you won some lottery in Europe and they just need your bank information so they can send you the money, right? And you know why we have so many of those in our inboxes? Because they work. People get sucked into that stuff. And you know, it's tragic. It really is. It's sad to hear of people that are so lonely and they engage in a relationship with somebody online and come to find out they get like their life savings taken from them. That's tragic and it's terribly sad. But you know something that's far worse than losing your life savings? The countless people that are buying into false religions, trusting in a false Messiah, and die and spend an eternity separated from God. That's tragic. We want to be very careful. We don't want to be gullible, especially when it comes to spiritual things. So what do we do? What do we do? We're bombarded with voices telling us, hey, God told me this. Hey, I had a vision. Hey, I had that vision. Hey, Jesus is coming back. Hey, there's some secret meaning behind, you know, the text and you know, thank goodness that we have supercomputers today, because the people that these letters were written to didn't know what we know. But now, you know, we have this algorithm and we pump it all into a computer. And now for the first time, are we able to tell what God's word says? Again, the main truth is the plain truth. God wants us to know him. And it's here. It's clear. We could know it. The reason we don't know what God wants us to know is because we're not spending the time that we need to spend in his word. It is here. I'm telling you, I really believe. I believe this book has all that we need. In fact, I just want to draw your attention to one of our core values there, Bible study. It says, we study the Bible because it has all of God's instruction for all of living and believing. It is enough. It's here. This is how God speaks to us today. Now I know I'm running the risk of offending some. But we have to be careful. When God speaks to us, this is primarily how he speaks to us. Maybe you've said, or maybe you've heard somebody say, God told me. And if they don't follow that with chapter and verse, we need to be very skeptical. And I want you to know, I mean, because it's true of me too. When I or anybody else stands in this pulpit, we are saying in effect, I have a message from God. And when anybody says that, they're asking you this, even though they might not think they're asking you this, but I want you to hear this, and that is, scrutinize me. When anybody claims they're speaking for God, you have a responsibility to scrutinize them. And I understand, do you think it's comfortable to get up here and to tell you guys so often, hey, you have a responsibility to make sure that what I'm saying from this pulpit matches what this book says. That's kind of scary. You know, I was thinking about it, and I've been doing this for a little over 20 years. People ask me, hey, do you get nervous when you preach? Every single time I get nervous. And I don't want you to take, you know, think the wrong thing about it. I love it. I can't see myself doing anything else. But I have a great reverence for this. Listen, you think of the world's most dangerous job, and if you're like me, you're thinking of the guy with the big clunky suit on that's going to be called in to disarm the bomb, right? If he cuts the wrong wire, people are just going to die. And that, don't get me wrong, that's tragic. I mean, you're not going to find somebody more pro-life than me. Okay, but people are just going to lose their lives. If I screw up with this, there could be eternal consequences. That's a huge deal. And it scares me. And I know I'm not perfect. I know I have to be so careful. So there's a great reverence I have, but I'm asking you, I'm asking you to scrutinize me, because I'm telling you that God has a message for you. And so when anybody says, hey, God told me, you need to hear, scrutinize me. Scrutinize me. I mean, could God speak to somebody today in a dream? And we've got all kinds of anecdotal proof of this, right? You could say, well, I heard in Muslim countries that Jesus is appearing to people in dreams and they're getting saved. What do you do with that? I have no idea. There are probably just as many people that are having dreams about a false Jesus that they're trusting. Because quite honestly, their dream isn't the determiner of truth. This book is. What about when people say, hey, God told me this? Do you believe everything everybody tells you if they say that it's from God? What if somebody came to you and said, there's marriage in heaven? Well, you'd have to say, well, wait a second. In Matthew chapter 16, or excuse me, in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus actually said that there isn't marriage in heaven. Well, I have to go back to this book. I have to go back to here and say, okay, well, you say that God is saying this, but what you're saying doesn't match what this says. Somebody might come and say, hey, every church in the world is wrong and corrupt, and so we need to have a reboot and start a new one. Then you should say, wait a second. I think Jesus said something about that. And we can go back to this book, and we can go to Matthew 16 and verse 18, where Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Well, who's right? I have to go back to this book. I have to go back to what God has revealed in his word. Is it possible for somebody to have some message from God today that God could tell them this or that or the other thing? I guess it's possible. And I'm going to be real with you. Somebody tells me God said, and they don't give me a chapter and verse, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, probably not. But let's hear you. I mean, you'll have people say all kinds of stuff like that, right? God told me to go to Target. I was praying for this thing that I couldn't afford, and he told me to go to Target, and on aisle 15 toward the bottom, I would find this item, and it would be for a reduced price, which happens to be in my budget. And how do you explain that? Because then I went, and there it was, exactly like it was supposed to be. Well, I'm sorry. If you're telling me that God told you that, then that thing is on par with this, and I've got a hard time putting that on the same level of this. But if God actually said it, then we would have to do that. Now again, I'm not thinking of anything in particular or whatever. I don't know. I'm just telling you different things that I've heard throughout the years. But we would have to ask the question. I mean, what if that was true? What if somebody heard something and it was that accurate? Well, we say, well, it has to be of God because it came true. Do you think that Satan or a demon doesn't know what's on clearance in Walmart on the 17th aisle toward the bottom? I mean, come on. And I'm not saying that that's always the case, but the reality is we have to say, whoa, wait a second. There is an enemy that wants to deceive me. He is a liar, and he uses the truth to manipulate me into believing a lie. And that is where we're going around with a peacetime mentality when we're at war. There's an enemy that wants to destroy us. We're told that there is an enemy that wants to infiltrate our ranks. We're told to beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. We know that people will want to come in and lead us astray and to try to tell us lies, and we have to be discerning. Don't be gullible. What do you do if somebody comes to you and says they're speaking for God? What do you do if I stand here and I'm telling you I have a message from God for you? What do you do when somebody says that? You scrutinize them. You make sure that what they're saying squares with the rest of what the Bible says. Do you remember when Paul spoke of the Bereans? He said that the Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonians because they received the words that Paul gave them, and they searched the scriptures to make sure that what he said was true. And to put it another way, Paul said to the Galatians in chapter 1 a couple of times, he said, hey, if we, speaking of himself and the other apostles, if we or an angel from heaven were to preach to you a gospel contrary to the one that we preached, let him be accursed. If it doesn't match what this book says, we're to reject it. Is that a little sobering? It should be. It's kind of scary. There's going to be some great encouragement as we dig through this text. Okay? I want us to be sober-minded. I want us to realize that people are seeking to lead others astray. We should be thinking that way. And we're going to see that truth about God is never benign. It's either true, and that means that its source is God, or it's false, and that means it has at its source Satan. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody that's walking around teaching a false teaching is aware that they're doing the Satan's bidding and that they're, you know, involved in demonic stuff and whatever. They don't even have to know it, but the reality is, and we're going to see it here this morning, the reality is one of two choices. It's either true, and that means that God is its source, or it's false, and that means that it's satanic or demonic, even if the person has no idea of that. You know something that's sad, too? I remember things. Now, it wasn't about the deity of Christ or, you know, any of the big stuff, but I remember as a young Christian having some things a little messed up in my thinking. But if it's wrong, and it's about God, it's not neutral. And that's why we have to be so careful. Let's pray, and then we'll get into this text this morning. Father, please help us. Help us to be a church that really does have a wartime mentality, Lord. It's not peacetime. There's an enemy that wants to destroy us, that to tear us apart, Lord, an enemy that would love to see this place closed down and to see people lost and in the dark, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we would be diligent and I don't mean that we would be gripped by fear and we'd be debilitated. We wouldn't be effective for your service, but I pray that we have a reverence and respect for your word and the truth that it contains, that we're careful with it, and that we judge everything according to your word, because your word is sufficient. It is all I need. There's some things that it doesn't talk about, and that's okay. I don't need to know the things that aren't here, but what I need to know is found within these pages, Lord, and I'm so grateful that you've preserved this so miraculously, Lord, and that it's living and it's active and it's powerful, it's authoritative, it's true. And I thank you for the ability that it has to change lives. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm living, breathing proof that your word can change lives. It's changing me, and I'm grateful, Lord. You're so good. Help us to understand your word and help us to test everything according to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. One more, and then we'll get into the text this morning. What do you do when somebody says, I have a message from God, and I have some experience that leads me to believe that it has to be of God because I saw some miracle or some experience or some something? What do you do with that? Do you automatically assume, well, hey, they said God said this, and then this crazy miraculous thing happened, therefore it has to be true? No, it has to agree with this book or we reject it. We're told in the end times, Matthew 24:24, that there's going to be such a strong delusion that even the elect, if it were possible, could be deceived. I mean, it's strong stuff. I mean, there's going to be miracles and all kinds of stuff in the end times that are going to be satanic and demonic. So quite frankly, and with all due respect, I'm not all that interested in your experience if it contradicts what this word says. And I'm telling you, if my own eyes, if I see something with my eyes that seem to contradict what this says, this is my default, because not everything is as it appears. Experience doesn't prove, you know, what God says. This proves it. This is the well-established word of God that he has miraculously protected. We can trust it. It's right here. So our experience isn't what determines what truth is. Our emotions don't determine what truth is. this is truth, and we have to look to this to find out whether a message is from God or not. And I hope you're doing it this morning. Again, I'm standing here. I told you, when I'm standing here, I'm telling you I have a message from God. And when I say that, or when anybody says that, what should you take from that? What should you hear? They're saying, scrutinize me. Remember, James, it wasn't all that long ago that we went through James. James chapter 3 says, hey, not many of you should seek to be teachers because there's a stricter or greater judgment. And what does that mean? That God has a double standard? If you're a teacher, he's going to judge you one way. And if you're not a teacher, he's going to judge you another way? No. I believe what is being said there is if you're saying that you're speaking for God and you're wrong, that's a big deal. And so if somebody's going around all the time, here, this is what God says, here, this is what God says, here, this is what God says, and they're wrong, that's a big deal. And so somebody who's a teacher is going to have that greater accountability because they're continually saying, God says this, and God says this. I mean, if you get it wrong about the sports score last night, who cares? Some of you might. But when people are speaking truth about God, it's either true, and that makes it of God, God is the source, or it's false, and Satan is the source. So let's look at verse 1, and basically we just have really the main point of the rest of the verses right there. John says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Now, spirit there, he's talking about what's behind a particular message, right? What is it behind a particular message? What's the spirit of this message versus the spirit of that message? If somebody says, hey, I have a message from God, then you have a responsibility to say, okay, let me find out how the rest of God's revealed word matches up with that. He says, don't believe every spirit. Don't be gullible. Don't believe everybody that says they have a message from God just because they said it was from God or because they have some experience to back up what they're saying. It needs to square with Scripture. So he says, don't believe every spirit or that which motivates it, whether its source is God or its source is Satan. And he goes on to say, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false prophets. I mean, we live in a day and an age where we're bombarded with all kinds of false teaching, and there's smooth-sounding guys and gals that are giving you bits and pieces of truth, but they're twisting it, they're manipulating it, and they've got the secret. If you buy into their special method, then you can know it. And I'll have people sometime get into, and I'm, you know, I love the Bible, and I'm all for the original languages. That's great. It's good to study that stuff and find out what these words mean. But sometimes people will say, hey, well, in this language, this word means this, and they'll go down this trail to make the word say something that it's not saying at all. In fact, it'll be exactly the opposite of what it clearly says here. And to that, I don't have to be a scholar in Greek or Hebrew. But it's like, what you're saying isn't what this says. So I'm not going to accept it. And there are many false prophets that have gone out in the world. And more and more, as the days go by, all kinds of false teaching and nonsense. So we need to be discerning. And really, we're just going to look at three points here. We're going to look at the confession, the possession, and the reception. Okay? Let's start with the confession. And this is the most important part. Okay? Verse 2, he says, by this you know the Spirit of God. Isn't that what we want to know? If somebody's telling us they're speaking for God, don't we want to make sure that they really are speaking for God? Well, how do you know? Here it is. And John just kind of matter-of-factly, I mean, it sounds so simple, but what he's saying packs a powerful punch. He says, every spirit that confesses, now to confess is simply to say the same thing about, right? If I'm going to confess, I'm going to say or agree with what somebody else is saying or agreeing. So if I'm going to confess in a biblical fashion, I'm going to say what God says. I'm going to agree with what God says about someone or something. And in this case, we're talking about Jesus. It says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Now, that's fascinating. Now we have to be careful. First of all, I want you to remember one of the main problems that John was dealing with here was this kind of Gnostic idea of this secret knowledge. They had some ideas that all matter was evil and all spirit was good, and so you think, well, that's really not a big deal, but then you take that crazy premise and you start to apply it to other areas and you say, okay, well, if all matter is evil and all spirit is good, what about this Jesus fella? You know, did he really come in the flesh? Because if he did, then he certainly couldn't be God because he was physical and matter is evil. Or was he really God? And because he was really God, he was just a spirit or a vision, but he wasn't really physically there. That was the kind of stuff that we're talking about. And you might think that's not a really big deal, but it's a very big deal. In order to understand the Jesus of the Bible, you have to understand and agree with the fact that he is 100% God. And he became a man. And so while he was here on earth, he was 100% God and 100% man. You say, well, that's 200%. Yeah, it blows my mind. But to deny either his deity or his humanity messes the whole thing up. And we've talked about that before. Our problem was so great that I got to. It's the gospel, right? Our problem is so great that the only, I mean, we're either going to spend an eternity in hell paying for our sins and we'll never pay enough, or we can have a substitute. But the problem with a substitute is the only person who is qualified to die as a substitute is one who is perfect. I couldn't die for your sin if I wanted to. You couldn't die for mine if you wanted to, because who's going to deal with our sin? I can't save you from something that I need saved from, right? There's only one who's qualified. And who is the only one who is without sin, who is perfect? That's God. But that's another problem. God can't die. So in God's wonderful plan, God, in the Lord Jesus, stepped into human flesh, the second member of the Godhead, the second member of the Trinity. God the Son stepped into humanity while not ceasing to be God. He became a man. In fact, Philippians 2, right, we're told that he emptied himself by taking on something. He emptied himself by taking on the form of a bondservant, and he was obedient to the point of death, but not just any ordinary death, the despicable, humiliating, painful death of a cross. He did that for us. That's the only way that it would work. There's no other way it could work. So you have the problem of who is worthy to be a sacrifice. Nobody but God. But the sacrifice has to pay with his life. So God, the only one who is qualified, became a man, lived a perfect life under the law, proved, because only God can do that, proved his deity. He said he would die, and he said he would be raised 3 days later. He got it right. He accomplished what he set out to accomplish. The wages of sin is death. If there was more to pay, he'd still be paying, and he'd still be dead. But the very fact that he rose 3 days later proved that it was acceptable, proved that he got it right, proved that it was enough. So to deny either the humanity or the deity of Jesus is heresy. You might think, what's the big deal? You know, people go around all the time, hey, I believe in Jesus. Hey, you know, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Okay, well, who is this Jesus? What has he done? Because the Jesus of the Bible doesn't have a beginning. He didn't evolve into godhood. He is eternal God, co-equal, co-eternal with the Father and the Spirit. And all that is wrapped up in this Jesus. That kind of reminds us of the saving work. That name is Savior, and it reminds us of that. The Christ, this one who was called by God, this one that the whole Old Testament pointed to, this one that was totally fulfilled in Jesus. Only Jesus could do that. This Jesus Christ, and he came in the flesh, bodily. And he is from God. He is God. Now, there are some people who might, you know, they can maybe recite this, you know, but they don't get it. They don't understand what that means. But if somebody really understands this Jesus and agrees about this Jesus, then that message is from God. Okay? And verse 3 says, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. So listen, every spirit that gets it right about Jesus, that message is from God. Every spirit who has a message that isn't this one is not from God. In fact, listen to what it says. It is the spirit of the Antichrist, one who puts themselves up instead of Christ, one who is opposed to Christ. I mean, it's very black and white, isn't it? If you can't get it right about Jesus, you can't get anything right, right? I mean, it's that important. If you don't get it right about Jesus, nothing else matters. So if you get it right about Jesus, that makes the difference. So when we're trying to figure out if somebody is a true teacher and their message is true, it starts with Jesus. Who is Jesus? And again, not just like, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. I mean, demons believe in Jesus. It means more than a simple acknowledgement that he exists. But do you trust in him for your salvation? Do you not just believe in Jesus, but do you believe Jesus? Do you believe his claims about himself? Do you believe what's revealed in Scripture about him? Because every spirit that doesn't is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard that is coming and now is already in the world. There is this one who is called the Antichrist, who will be a key figure in the end times, a specific one, okay? And he will come, but the spirit of the Antichrist is here now. There are many people who think that way, who want to deceive people, who want to pull people away from the true Jesus. So when we're going to look at a message, when somebody says, I have a message from God, this is where it starts. Who's Jesus? So we see the confession. Now let's look at the possession. We want to be careful and we want to be respectful here, okay? But the reality is, we who are believers possess the Spirit of God. He belongs to us. He is ours and we are his. Listen to what this says. Verse 4, he says, you are from God, little children. And I love that. He's super blunt. He's super bold, but he's continually, he started in verse 1, beloved. He says here, little children. He has a relationship with them. He loves these people. And you know what? You see that again and again, the truth. Yes. I mean, he has these truth bombs that he throws out all over the place, but he's always loving and caring. You are from God, little children, and have overcome them. It's kind of scary, isn't it? You're telling me that there are people that are trying to pull me away? There are people who are trying to deceive me? Yes, there are. Yes, we should be aware. But we don't have to be afraid. Because listen, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Oh, isn't that great? Yes, we want to have a wartime mentality. Yes, we want to be aware, alert. We want to make sure that we're testing messages that come. People say they're talking for God. Let's find out. Let's make sure, because there's a lot of people that are trying to lead us astray. Let's find out. But hey, if you're a believer, you have God's Spirit living inside of you. You possess God, and he possesses you. You have him and he has you. I mean, we could spend like the rest of our lives thinking about the God of the universe indwelling in believers. man, I wow. What encouragement. I mean, this is serious stuff, and it's a little scary, but man, the one who lives inside of me, man, he's overcome the world. I mean, he defeated all of them. I can rest assured in that. One other thing I wanted to bring to your attention. We've mentioned it before, but it bears repeating. If you come to the book of 1 John and you think, well, man, John is trying to convince me that I'm not really saved, well, then you miss the point of 1 John. The point of 1 John is really found in chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Isn't that great? He's actually writing this so that we know, those of us who believe, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, he wants us to know that we have eternal life. We are secure. Now, of course, when you're looking at authentic faith and authentic Christianity, you're going to say, ooh, boy, that, you know, and he says it again and again. Well, if you say this, but you do this, wrong. If you say this, but you do, wrong. But for those of us who put our trust in Christ, we may know that we have eternal life. It's not, eternal life isn't something you get after you die. Eternal life is something you get the moment you believe, right? How could I have a beginning. Everybody's going to go on forever in one of two places, but everybody has a beginning. God's the only one that doesn't have a beginning. We've talked about it this way. If you have a line, remember in school, you have a dot on one end of the line, then you have a line with an arrow that indicates it has a beginning, but it goes on forever in that direction. If you have a line with two arrows, it says it's going on forever in both directions. That's eternity. None of us are eternal. How is it that we can have eternal life when we have a beginning? The way we have eternal life is when we have the life that is eternal, and only God is eternal. We have his life lived in and through our lives. That's pretty cool. And we get that the moment we trust Jesus, we have eternal life, which, yes, means that we're going to spend an eternity with him in heaven. That's wonderful. But we have eternal life the moment we believe. And what a wonderful truth that is. We have the Spirit of God. We have the one who overcame the world living in us. So we see the confession, the possession, and here's the reception. This is really cool too, and I get to see this. I'll tell you, there's something that goes on in my heart as a shepherd. On the one hand, I know that there are people that want to sneak in and want to try to destroy. I mean, Jesus said, you know, there's going to be wolves in sheep's clothing. So my shepherd heart, I'm like kind of trying to listen and trying to be alert because I'm afraid that somebody's going to come in and try to pull people aside and try to confuse and mess people up. So my heart gets jacked up about that. I'm like, I want to be alert and make sure that if there's not some false teaching being spread out there. But I also want to be very careful because there are some people that are just messed up. You know, I mean, we were there before, right? You know, some people that want to know the truth, they think they know the truth, but they're messed up. And so if they're teachable and they really want to know, then the heart of a shepherd says, let me help you. I want to teach you. I want to show you the truth. I want to show you what God's word says. And if they're teachable, then we've got something to work with. But if they're not teachable and they're continually going back to those same errors and leading people into that stuff, man, I get pretty anxious. It's like, whoa. But I want to tell you something. And again, in my experience, and it's been a little bit, I'm not talking about one thing, or I'm talking about lots of different things. I've seen where some of this starts to happen, and then I hear of people responding, and it just thrills my heart because I get so concerned. I don't want people to be led astray. I want to guard and protect the flock that God has entrusted to my care. And one of the best ways I can do that is by accurately and faithfully handling his word, because you guys are learning. Do you ever notice sometimes you hear a preacher that you've never heard before preaching on a subject that you didn't even really think of, and there's just this ring of truth, and they go back to the Bible and you're like, yeah, that is what it says. And you hear them some more. Well, I mean, there's something about that. Listen, Verse 5 says, they, now again, he's talking not about believers, but everybody else. They are from the world. Therefore, they speak as from the world, and the world listens to them. Isn't it kind of interesting? I mean, like, you get some people, you're like, man, that guy's a false teacher. Huge following. You know, you think, what in the world? It's not even true. You know, people say, oh, yeah, man, we must be true. Look at how great we are. Look at how many members we have. Look at how big our buildings are and all the rest of it. And I mean, you can fill in the blank with a number of different false religions like that. Well, we wouldn't expect it to be different, would we? We were actually told, you know, narrow is the road that leads to eternal life because people are on it. Broad is the road that leads to destruction. And it's sad. It's terrible. But a lot of people are on that road. Isn't it weird how it seems like the whole world is like marching to the beat of the same drummer? Like you hear that same message. It's a message of self-promotion. It's a message that says there's no absolute truth. Truth is whatever you believe it to be. The world gets that. That's the language of the world. They speak that. They understand that. But here's the cool thing. Listen to this. Verse 6. We are from God. He who knows God listens to us. Now, who's talking here? This is John, right? Who's the us? I believe it's John and the other apostles. I mean, we could just as easily say the one who listens and heeds the word of God. They know. He who is not from God does not listen to us. But this we know, the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Isn't it great? And I'll tell you, it's wonderful when I, because again, my ears perk up when I hear little weird things. I'm like, am I hearing that right? And then somebody else will, they won't bite. And it makes me so proud in a good way, right? It's like, man, God's word is true and you guys are getting it and you're discerning and you're putting it to the test. We want to be diligent. We want to do this. But praise God that we have the Spirit of God. One of the ministries of the Spirit of God not only is the inspiration of the Bible, he is responsible for the Bible, but he also illumines the Bible. His Spirit helps us to understand what his word teaches. And we have that. We have his indwelling Holy Spirit. Man, that's great. Because this is scary stuff. There's false teachers out there. There's antichrists out there. But the one who indwells us has overcome them. And yeah, the world receives all that silly, ear-tickling stuff because that's what they speak, that's what they know. But we know and we accept the teaching of the apostles and the word of God because that is how we determine truth from error. My own eyes might deceive me. My feelings deceive me all the time. One minute I'm, ha-ha, you know, next minute, stinking, you know, and you can probably relate. My feelings aren't reliable. My experiences aren't reliable. I don't always see things the way they really are, but this, friends, and you know it, this is reliable. This is what counts. So when somebody says, I have a message from God, what do you say? What do you hear, rather? They're asking me to scrutinize them. They're asking me to listen to everything that they're saying and bring it back to here. You know, oh, really? You say that God has a message from you? Well, tell me about Jesus. Tell me about who Jesus is. Because I'll tell you right now, if you say God told you such and such and it doesn't square with who Jesus is, then I'm going to reject you as a false teacher. So when anybody steps into the pulpit, you hear them say, scrutinize me. When somebody says, God told me, they're saying, scrutinize me. Even if they're not saying that, that's what we need to hear. That's our responsibility. We want to make sure that we're testing the spirits. We don't want to be gullible. Lots of people are trying to convince us of different false teachings. But this is where the truth is. And this doesn't fail. Isn't God good? Isn't it great that we can, at least to a degree, we can discern truth because we have God's Spirit, because we have His Word? And I say, you know, we want to you know, we want to be careful. We have to bring it back to here. Yes, we have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. God indwells us. We need to run it all through here to determine truth from error. But thank God we have it. Thank God he didn't leave us to fend for ourselves, but he's given us clear instruction, and it's plain. You know, we don't need to get some secret meaning and find some code or some, like, it's right here. It's right here. Clear. Plain. What a God. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the power of your word to change lives, Lord. Help us to be men and women who are diligent students of your word so that we can discern truth from error. Let us be loving, Lord. I want people that are sucked into false religions, I want them to be saved. I want them to know the truth. But it's only from your word that they're going to be changed, that they're going to see the truth, Lord. Your word is true. Again, just help us to be men and women who love your word and filter everything through what your word has to say, Lord. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.